Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the prophetic experience, where the word of the Lord comes alive, with nationally known prophet Laron Matthews. Prophet Matthews has prophesied to Kurt Franklin, Ty Trabert, Bishop Rance Allen, many world leaders, just to name a few, and he welcomes the international world and families to his ministry. He recognized the pains, hurts, disappointment, and needs of the people through love, faith, prayer, and communication. God has anointed Prophet Matthews to be able to meet the challenges of a generation and people searching for an authentic message that reaches a pressure-filled life with the strength of God's love for them. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the service. God bless you.
Recording started.
Good evening. Good evening, my brothers and sisters. Welcome to another powerful Monday night prayer where the word of the Lord comes alive. It comes alive by us applying it, standing on it, believing it, and receiving it, and doubt not in our heart. So get ready to hear a word from the Lord. Call a friend, text a friend, email a friend, invite them on. Have a word for them as well. So get ready for your breakthrough and not a breakdown.
Good evening. Scripture reading will be taken from Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and I will be reading out of the NIV version. Remind the people to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate always, to be gentle toward everyone. At one time, we were too foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of the rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, have been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. May God add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Good evening, Heavenly Father. Welcome, Holy Spirit, to rule and reign another awesome, powerful Monday night where the word of the Lord comes alive. We just stop by to say thank you. Thank you how you brought us through the day, Father God. You kept us from all harm and danger, and we say thank you. Oh, we come to bless your name tonight, Lord God. Because, Father, without you, we could have made it through the day. Without you, we wouldn't be here tonight. And we just come to give you the praise and give you all the glory. It belongs to you. We lift up all our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren and relatives to you tonight. Cover them and keep them in your keeping care. Keep them from seen and unseen danger. Keep them from seen and unseen sickness in the mighty name of Jesus. I lift up my cousin to you, Father God. I thank you that you are healing his body from that stroke, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Can't nobody do it like you. Can't nobody do it but you. You can do the impossible. So I thank you for doing it for him right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Go by all the hospitals on tonight. Heal and deliver and set free. Stop by the nursing homes on tonight. Go from room to room, floor to floor, and heal and deliver and set free. Make a house call tonight, Father God. Heal and deliver and set free that only you can do, Father God. And we say thank you. Thank you for your right hand is holding us all up in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, we just come to bless your name tonight, Father God. Because, Father, without you, we're absolutely nothing. Without you, we could do absolutely nothing. But with you, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. We lift up the visionary of this line to you, Father God, as he continuously pour out to your people near and far, pour back into him in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you the praise. We give you the glory. Lift the Restoration Foundation to you, Father God. Cover each and every member, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus and their loved ones as well, Father God. Cover the elder, the deacon, and their families, Father God. Keep them in your keeping care, Father God. And we give you the praise. We give you the glory, Father God. We just say thank you for being our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We come to praise you tonight for bringing heaven to earth, Lord, with your healing power, with your delivering power, your wonder-working power moving in this hour. May you be glorified. And we say thank you. Father, I thank you what you done for me this week when I was sick, Father God, how you delivered and set me free, Father God. I just say thank you. Didn't nobody do it but you, and I say thank you for your grace, your mercy, sustaining and keeping me, Lord God. And I give you all the praise and give you all the glory. Because when I look back over my own life, I could truly say that I am blessed, that I am a walking testimony, that I am overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And I say thank you that I'm able to call on your name, the name above all name, the name above sickness and diseases. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So cover this line with the blood tonight. Drive out anything on this line that's not of the Holy Spirit. We release the Holy Spirit to rule and reign. And we say thank you. We plead the blood of Jesus over the atmosphere because we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but principalities in high places. Have your way tonight, Lord God. Have your way tonight. Your will be done. Not my will, but your will. Not my way, but your way. Have your way. We lift up the homeless to you all over the land today, Father God. Cover and keep them, Lord God. Touch the hearts of your people that could do more for the homeless, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we bless your name tonight. Stop by the penitentiaries on tonight. Heal and deliver in the penitentiary, Father God. The county jails, Lord God. Cover and keep them, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, we just come to bless your name. We just come to magnify your name. You say, if you be lifted up, you would draw all men unto you. So we thank you for your drawing power, your wonder-working power. Moving in this hour, may you be glorified. We praise you that you are married to the backsliders. Slide them back to you by your Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we plead the blood over every train, every plane, every car right now in the name of Jesus. We bind up accidents right now in the mighty name of Jesus and loosen the Holy Spirit to rule and reign. Hallelujah, Lord God. And we just say thank you. Or we bless your name, Lord God. Because we are nothing without you. But we can do all things through Christ that strengthen us. So we thank you for your strength tonight. Thank you as we lay down and sleep and slumber tonight, how you're protecting and keeping us, Lord God, in our neighborhoods, God. And we say thank you. Oh, we bless your name tonight, Lord God. We just say we love you, we need you, we're not without you. Have your way. Have your way in Jesus' precious, wonderful name, I pray. Amen, amen, and thank God, and thank God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Father. We bless you, Father God. We thank you, Father God. We lift you up, Father God. And we just give you all the praise that is due to you, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. We thank you, God, for how you kept us throughout this day. Father God, glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, hallelujah. You watched over us all day long, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. And Father God, hallelujah, you allowed us to be a part of the day, Father God. So we give you thanks, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. We exalt you, Father God, on high, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. For all it is that you have done for us, Father God, and the things that you're working on right now, those things that you've done all down through the years, Father God, we give you the glory for it, Father God. Hallelujah. And Father God, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies in our lives, Father God. We thank you for that mercy, Father God. Hallelujah. And that favor that went out ahead of us on today, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. And we just want to thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, and we can't thank you enough, Father God, for all you've done, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, we bless your name, Father God. Hallelujah. And, Father God, we just thank you for each and every person under the sound of my voice, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. We thank you, God. Glory, hallelujah, for you just moving by your spirit for each and every one, Father God, for you know all about each and every one of us, Father God. You know the intricate details of our lives, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. You know exactly what we're dealing with, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, even the things we dealt with on this day, you know all about it, Father God. Glory, hallelujah.
So we commit all our cares to you, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. All our concerns to you, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, and we know, Father God, glory, hallelujah, that you're working it out right now, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, for your people, Father God. Hallelujah. And, Father God, we just want to thank you, God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, for Mother Gwenny, even as she poured out, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. We pray that you would just fill her back up right now, Father God. We thank you, God. Glory, hallelujah, for you touching her body, Father God. We thank you, God. Glory, hallelujah, for you just moving by your spirit for her and her family, Father God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, and we give you the praise, we give you the glory. Hallelujah. We thank you, God. Glory, hallelujah, for our overseer, Dr. LeVon Matthews. We thank you, God. Glory, hallelujah, for you strengthening him, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, for you touching him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. We thank you, God, for the hedge of protection around him, Father God. We thank you, God, for you, oh, God, causing that angelic host to go ahead of him, Father God, even in travels, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Even when he rides and, oh, God, every move he makes, Father God, I thank you, God, that the angels are ahead of him, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. They are his escorts, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. And we just give you praise, oh, God, glory, hallelujah, for you meeting every one of his needs by your riches and glory in Christ Jesus and continuing to cover his family, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, for continuing, Father God, glory, hallelujah, to take him higher and deeper in your word, Father God, to new dimensions, glory, hallelujah, causing him even to rise above all the warfare, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. And I thank you, God, that you're rising up right now in this mighty battle axe, Father God, glory, hallelujah, and destroying every opposing force of the enemy that would come at him, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. And we just want to bless you for the man of God, hallelujah. We just thank you, God, glory, hallelujah, for how you're using them for such a time as this. And we give you praise, and we give you glory, and we give you honor. And, Father God, we just thanking you, God, for all the leaders connected to this line, Father God, and for how you're moving by your spirit for them, Father God, meeting their needs, Father God. Glory to your name, Father God. Hallelujah. Covering them and their families, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God, we thank you, God, and we give you the praise and we give you the glory. Hallelujah. Oh, God, and Father God, those that are going through in their body, we thank you, God, for you giving them a touch right now, Father God, even as your healing balm is being released upon them right now, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. I thank you, God, that you're strengthening your people in this hour, Father God. I thank you, God, glory, hallelujah, that you're endowing them with a deeper faith in you, Father God, a deeper trust in you, Father God, glory, hallelujah. I thank you, God, glory, hallelujah, that you're igniting the hope of your people, Father God. I thank you, God, glory, hallelujah, that you're keeping your people in safety and in peace, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God, glory, hallelujah. I thank you, God, glory, hallelujah, oh, God, for you just pouring your love upon your people, Father God, glory, hallelujah, teaching us how to love and walk in love towards one another. I thank you, God, glory, hallelujah, that you're forgiving us for all of our sins of omission and commission, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God, and you're soaking us and saturating us in the precious blood of Jesus, oh, God, cleansing us with his thought, Father God, glory, hallelujah, oh, God, causing us to walk pure, Father God, walk, be holy, Father God, and walk upright before you, Father God, hallelujah, giving us a due right spirit in this hour, Father God, glory, hallelujah, oh, God, because you told us over in your word, Father God, in Isaiah 1:19, that if we're willing and obedient, we would eat the good of the land. So, Father God, I thank you, God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, hallelujah, that it's harvest time for your people, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, that walk up right before you, Father God. Hallelujah. I know that you will not withhold no good thing from any of us, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. So we're just giving you the praise and we're giving you the glory, Father God. Hallelujah, because you deserve it, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, I agree right along with my sister, Mother Gwenny, Father God, who said that we're nothing without you, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. And we can do nothing without you, Father God. If it wasn't for your love, if it wasn't for your grace, Lord, oh, Lord, where would we be, Father God? Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank you, hallelujah. Oh, God, for how you love us with that everlasting love that never quits, Father God. You look past our faults and continue to meet our needs, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. But let us, Father God, glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, oh, be obedient to you, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, hallelujah, and show you how much we love you, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, because you told us in your word that if we love you, we must obey you, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, to help us, oh, God, hallelujah, in this hour, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, to keep our feet planted on that path, oh, God, hallelujah, to holiness, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, that highway to holiness, oh, God, and that road to righteousness, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. Glory, hallelujah, help us to willingly, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, hallelujah, cast down our filthy garments, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, and allow you to give us those garments of holiness, oh, God. Glory, hallelujah, and clothe ourselves in it. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God, I just want to thank you, and I want to praise you, and we want to bless you and thank you together, collectively. Oh, God, help us to stand as one, Father God, a unified body, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, working together, tilling a vineyard together, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God, hallelujah. And we're just giving you praise and we're giving you glory, hallelujah. And we pray, Father God, glory, hallelujah, for our governmental system, Father God, glory, hallelujah. We pray right now, oh, God, glory, hallelujah, that you're moving all over that governmental system, Father God, glory, hallelujah, that you're snatching away every bit of corruption, Father God, glory, hallelujah, that you're changing the guard right now, Father God, glory, hallelujah, that you're placing men and women in those governmental seats after your own heart, Father God, that will do your bidding, Father God, that will raise a standard for you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, glory, hallelujah, oh God, and we pray right now, Father God, glory, hallelujah, that our enemies, oh God, of this country, Father God, glory, hallelujah, will cease their fire, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, and we're giving you praise, oh God, and we pray over that judicial system, Father God, and we're thanking you, God, for overthrowing that unjust judge, all the unjust judges across the land, Father God, glory, hallelujah, you're raising up the borderers, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, glory to your name, Father God, hallelujah, you're raising up men, oh God, glory, hallelujah, that would take the benches, Father God, glory, hallelujah, oh God, in the courts all over the land, Father God, men and women, Father God, glory, hallelujah, oh God, that will bring justice, Father God, that will be fair, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, glory, hallelujah, oh God, in every, oh God, bogus charge, Father God, hallelujah, we thank you, God, that it's being cast into the fiery sea right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, and I thank you, God, for even your people that are, oh, God, facing court dates and have to even stand in the court even on tomorrow, Father God, glory, hallelujah, those that are in the court, even in the evening courts across the land right now, Father God, that you're, oh, God, hallelujah, you're vindicating them right now in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God, and I give you praise, I give you glory, and I give you honor, Father God, and I thank you, God, glory, hallelujah, for how your angelic host is overseeing the surgeries, oh, God, right now, Father God, glory, hallelujah, going in those OR rooms, oh, God, going in those procedure rooms right now, Father God, glory, hallelujah, oh, God, and bringing your people to victory, Father God, glory, hallelujah, and those undergoing the surgeries and the procedures, I thank you that they're coming out better than they went in, Father God, they're coming out with victory, Father God, glory, hallelujah, with the praise in their mouth, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God, and we just want to bless you and thank you, God, hallelujah. Because you've been so good to us, Father God, glory, hallelujah, better than we've been to ourselves, Father God, glory, hallelujah, we don't deserve, oh God, all your love, Father God, glory, hallelujah, but you are love, glory, hallelujah, that's why you love us so, Father God, glory, hallelujah, and we thank you, and we just giving you praise, Father God, hallelujah, for you are worthy, you are able, oh God, glory, hallelujah, able to do all things but fail, oh God, glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, we thank you that there is no failure in you, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. So those that are in you, Father God, will reign victoriously, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, because we got the victory in Christ Jesus, oh, God. And we just want to bless you, God. We want to thank you, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, for you are worthy, oh, God. And we thank you, God, that you are the faithful Father. Oh, God, we thank you for your word over in Hebrews, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, that tells us that he that promised is faithful. So we thank you, God, glory, hallelujah, that if you said it, you shall surely perform it. We thank you, God, for your word, oh, God, glory, hallelujah, over in Isaiah 55 and 11, that says your words go out to accomplish exactly what you sent them to accomplish, never returning back to you. Void, Father God, so we thank you, God, glory, hallelujah, oh, God, hallelujah, that there shall be a quick and swift manifestation of all you promised your people, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, and we just bless you and thank you. And we pray against every bit of backlash and retaliation because of these prayers and petitions. Oh, God, and we thank you, God, that while we're yet speaking, you've already answered it, Father God. It was answered before the foundation of the world began, Father God. So we thank you that it's already done, and it is so. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to your name.
You know my name. As soon as he did that, I was like, I love it. I love it. You know my name. He said it again. He said, you know my name. oh, how you tell me, and oh, how you tell me that I am your own. Let's say it real loud together. You know my name. You know my name. Walking with you, and know how you talk with me.
Ron Matthews would like to personally invite you to join Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries and the Ron Matthews Ministries for their weekly services as follows. Sunday morning, 7:30 a.m., it's Facebook Live.
Find the broadcast on the Ron Matthews Facebook page.
11 a.m.,
in-person and virtual worship experience at 231 East 146th Street, Harvey, Illinois. Tuesday night, 7 p.m. A powerful prophetic teaching in person and virtual.
Find this broadcast on the RFPIM Facebook page.
Dr. LaRon Matthews is also a licensed Christian counselor and life coach. If you desire counseling, please feel free to contact the office at 708-825-1988 or 877-912-2027. For rates and available times, to receive more about the ministry, you can visit the ministry website at www.werestoreyou.org.
That's www.werestoreyou.org.
God bless you.
Prophet LaRon Matthews and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries would like to thank you for your prayers and support. Prophet Matthews invites you to become a monthly partner to help reach souls of the nations all around the world. As a monthly partner with Prophet LaRon Matthews and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries, you will be a vital part of the powerful end-time army that God is raising up to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to the nations of this world. To help accomplish our God-ordained vision, you can sow your seed at www.werestoreyou.org. That's werestoreyou.org. Or call 708-377-6774. Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries is a 501c3 tax-exempt ministry. God bless you.
The noise of my day, the depression that steals my voice, the confusion that arrests my life, so I can't even make a choice. Life seems so loud, I've been too proud. So Lord, what do I do? I just need a word from you. Oh, I need a word. Tell me which way to turn. I need a word. Tell me which way I should go. I need a word to tell me just what to do. Please send the word. God, I need to hear from you. Drown out the noise. Let me hear your voice. I need a word. Got bad news. Life just darkened my day. My family is in need, and I just can't seem to make a way. Oh, life seems so loud. I've been too proud, but I'm asking you now. Tell me which way to turn. I need a word. Tell me which way I should go. I need a word. Tell me what should I do, Lord. I need a word. I need a word from you. Drown out the noise. Let me hear your voice. God, oh, stand still and believe you'll work it out. Oh, stand still and see my against me shall be able to prosper.
Top of the day to you, and I welcome each and every one of you all today to another prophetic experience, teaching time where the word of the Lord comes to mind. I am prophet and teacher, and I'm Matthews, and I welcome those of you who are listening in and those of you who are joining us on the blog side. We bless the Lord for you, you and you, from coming in to be with us on this day. And certainly, we honor the Lord for you on this day and season. This is an awesome time in the land. And for many of us, we're in expectation of the great things that God is doing in spite of the challenges that are going on around us and around the world. We welcome all of you on today for being part of what the Lord is doing and the mandate on the lives of so many people. This is a prophetic time in the earth, man. However, we have to be very careful who speak over our lives in this prophetic time. You find out that in 2 Kings chapter number 7, verse number 2, Elijah says to the Lord, for which the king leans on, about this time tomorrow will a shekel of flour be sold in the gate of Samaria and 2 shekels of barley. He was preparing them for the greatest victory of their life in the middle of the greatest challenge and difficulties of their life, a famine in the city. And on the outside, there were many enemies keeping them from reaching what they needed. So he responded, about this time tomorrow, those things will happen. And the Lord, for which the king leans on, answereth the man of God. If this thing would be, he never put it if there would be. He said, about this time tomorrow, it shall be. And for some of you, you had a critical time prophetically in your life where the prophecy is a lie, but you got to be careful that the prophetic doesn't break the prophetic from manifesting itself for you. So we are in a great encounter right now, and we know that we need a powerful word from the Lord. So I welcome each and every one of you all for joining us far and near. And we thank God for our intercessors and our prayer warriors. And I thank you all for your faithfulness and your commitment of being who you are to us, in us, and through us, or to us and for us, and allowing the voice of the hand of the Lord God to be on your life as you are being chosen for such a time as this to release the oil of purpose and promise over God's people and for the lives of God's people. So we bless the Lord for you on tonight. Well, I want to talk about the vision of this prophetic conference line that was birthed from the book of Habakkuk, chapter number 2, verses 1 through 3. And Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch, and I will set me upon the tower, and I will wait to see what the Lord would say unto me when I am reproved. That word actually in the Hebrew means when I am made ready. He said, write the vision and make it plain upon table that they may run, or he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, for it will surely come. His soul, which is upright in him, is not upright, but the just should do what? Live by faith. We will live by faith. We will activate things by faith. Faith is a sound that carries a mysterious oil on it. The sound of the presence of God, the sound of victory, the sound of opportunity, the sound of advancement. So we have to be very careful what reaches the sound of our ears so it won't interfere with the presence of God for our life. And so understand the power of sound. The vision of this prophetic gospel line is to communicate the life of God to his people and change the world with one touch of dialing on the phone, and to become a voice of healing, reconciliation, and strength to a generation that have lost touch with church business as usual and are in need of kingdom leaders at heart that would allow them to become open to communicate their heart about any forces that forced them from seeing God as holy and his promise for the total man. The mission is through teaching, training, prophesying, and activating the fight of God within us. That's the vision and the mission of this prophetic conference line. So we thank you all today and welcome everyone for being part of what God has given us. All right, today is open forum. Open forum. Awesome. Open forum. We allow men and women of God from around the world. It doesn't make no difference what gifted you are in the kingdom of God, what relationship you're in. Open forum is set up where you can ask questions. You can ask a question, even make a comment, but ask questions to our panel of men and women of God that we will try to give you a Bible-based answer based upon the authenticity of our own experience that will help navigate you throughout your life being saved, set free, delivered, and as well as those who are seeking God who are not in the ark of safety, but you in the world that need the light of the word of God to shine on you tonight. So this is open forum, and we're here to take your questions or your comments that you have tonight for us. On tonight, I have some great kingdom leaders and sons and daughters of the ministry from different parts of the United States that will be with us on tonight. One of them will be Apostle Mari Finley of Restoration Truth Ministry, Hampton, Newport News. He's going to be on the panel with us tonight. We bless you on tonight, Apostle Simmons. Thank you for joining us, man servant. We appreciate you for joining us. We know that these last several weeks you've been on a tear in the word of God by tearing down the kingdom of darkness and releasing great revelation. So we bless the Lord for you as well joining us. Then we have on here, evangelist Dr. Carlina Wilkes on with us, great kingdom leader and woman of God for Indianapolis, Indiana, powerful woman of God who teaches on her Sunday school on Sunday morning, powerful ministry. These are all ministry gifts that are on Facebook Live as well, ministering the word of God in such a powerful way. Then we have my elder, the senior elder of Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministry, Elder Samuel Hunter. He's my senior elder of our ministry, and we thank God for him joining us tonight as well. Then we have another great kingdom leader from San Antonio, Texas, Prophetess Tina Rice. She's on the panel with us on tonight as well. Great kingdom leader and prophetess of the Lord and business owner there in the city of San Antonio, Texas. We're thanking God for many of you who are joining us and those who are on the panel. We thank God for you all tonight, and certainly we embellish the gift on your life and thank you for being part of Open Forum as well. Thank you all as well. Many of these kingdom leaders are very powerful leaders that are married and some, and we know that their companions are listening in as well. Thank you for joining us on tonight. Prophetess Simmons, Eugenie Simmons, and thank God for Elder Samuel Hunter and his wife, Sister Hunter, and we thank you for Evangelist Carlina Wilkes and her awesome husband, Brother Wilkes. So we thank God for those of them that are on tonight with us, and we bless the Lord for you, your husband and wife being with us on tonight as well. My administrator, Rita Bryant, she'll be working with us tonight. But first, what we're going to do is those of you who want to share on your Facebook page that we're live on the conference line. We're not doing it live on Facebook. But we're doing it live on the conference line. You can do that. Go to my page and share it. And go to Administrator with the Brian page and share it so others can call. Others can call in and be blessed with blessed by coming on in. To be blessed by the word of the Lord God as well. So we want you all to share with others that they may come on and be blessed. Amen to us, 5:4. And they can be blessed as well in joining us on the conference line today. It is a blessing for many to join us, so we appreciate you all for coming in. Be connecting with us on here. So share with others that they may be blessed. They can listen to either the blog side or the conference line and come in. All right. This is what we're going to do first. Any questions on the blog side, Administrator Lisa Bryant? If they have any question over there, we'll take the question on the blog side first. If we have any questions over there, if Administrator Bryant.
Yes, sir. We have,
God bless you on tonight.
God bless you, man of God. We have a couple of questions from the archive, from the email, if you want to take those first, or we can come back to
Okay,
them.
Let's, yeah, can you hold on? Yeah, let's see if we have any questions from the blog side, and if they have questions, they can ask their question over there, and we'll try to take those as well, and we can do that. Let's do that first, and then we'll go to those over here, and we'll do that if they can. But, and we'll do that at that time. Do we have any questions?
So you want these questions from this end first?
No, I'm sorry. Let's try to take the questions that we have already. Let's hold on those. Let's see if we have any comments from the people first. If we don't have any comments from the people, we'll then come in. Now, I'm sorry, those who are called name on the panel, just let us know that you're on and you're available. If you're on, those who named are called Apostle Simmons, Prophetess Rice, Elder Hunter, Dr. Wilkes, let me know if you all are on.
I'm on.
Good
night, Doc.
Apostle, I'm on.
Thank you so much. Okay, thank you. All right, we're ready to proceed now. Okay, Administrator Bryant, we're
okay. All right, the first question is
I'm sorry. That was my mistake, Administrator Bryant. Let's anyone on the blog side, if there anybody on the blog side, if you're listening on the blog side, hit one on your dial. I'm sorry, hit one on your dial. If you're on the blog talk side, if you have a question or comment for us, hit one on your dial. We'll bring you in so you can ask your question, and our panel will be able to answer that. Now, if you're on the conference side, what you do is hit *6 and come in and ask your question or make a comment, and we'll go from there. I'm sorry, Administrator Bryant. Please forgive me.
Uh-huh.
All right. Anybody on the blog side, Administrator Bryant over there?
Listen, we're clear for as questions are concerned, but however, we do welcome everyone that's listening in.
Okay. All right. Great. Anyone on the conference side that's listening on the conference side, if you have a question for us on the conference side right now, if you have a question for us on the conference line right now, I want to give you an opportunity to unmute your line, hit *6 and come in and ask your question at this time. Okay. Bless the Lord. All right, Administrator Brian, let's go ahead and ask the Star 6, just hit Star 6 if you have a question on the conference line. Hit Star 6 and come in. If not, we're going to go straight to Administrator with the Brian who's going to give us the question from the archives of the list that we have. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Okay, Dr. Matthews, this is a question that's coming in from a text from the conference line. So if you have a question that you want to text in, you can do so by 334-440-6152. Again, that number is 334-440-6152. So if I may read this from the conference line.
Yes, sure. Sure, Administrator Brian, you sure can.
Okay, so the question is, why is it so hard for men to accept women working in ministry? There are so many scriptures that prove that the Lord uses women throughout the Bible.
Women throughout the Bible. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Why is it so hard for men to accept women working in ministry? There are so many scriptures that prove that the Lord uses women throughout the Bible. If they believe men can be used, why not women?
Amen. All right. I can give my viewpoint. We have the panel. I think I'll come at the end and address my viewpoint of that. Anyone from the panel like to address that? I believe oftentimes the scripture that they use, the quoting scripture that they use, can be somewhat misleading because of the time that we're in. And then we go into the Old Testament and talk about the times of the Eastern and Western culture and background. But we're going to leave it open for the panel to come in to address that. Anyone from the panel want to address that? All right.
I'll give my viewpoint on it, Prophet. Let's come back question. If you would go back and look at history, or go back and look at, as Prophet stated, culture, and also from a biblical viewpoint, most of the time when you study the Word of God, most of the time men were always in the forefront. It was always in the forefront. Most people would try to say or put it this way, that, you know, because God created Adam first and he pulled woman from Adam, which was the man, and woman became his helpmeet. So passing it on from generation to generation. Then you come over into the New Covenant, New Testament. You still see where a lot of men was in the forefront of leading because of order, how God established it. And then you begin to get doctrines and teachings of men coming from different cultures and religions felt that women didn't have a voice, or women shouldn't have been in position of what they call headship. I put it like this. God can use anybody that he wants to use. I believe, Prophet, I shared on your conference line on Saturday morning talking about the widows when they lost their spouses. Due to, you know, or whatever they had passed from. And they was widows during that time, and Elijah and the kings was reigning during that time. They were widows. We used certain scriptures, how, you know, everything was established. Still you saw that the men was in the forefront. But then when you go come back over to the New Covenant or New Testament writings, you know, then you have what many would call a argument or a controversy when Apostle Paul was addressing the church about women being silent in the church. So many would take that particular scripture and run with it without understanding what was going on in that particular day of time based upon the contention that was going on in the church. Lee Paul said, for them to be solid in the church, for when they, if they want to speak, to wait till they get home to talk to the husband or whoever the man was the house. I think probably uses, people of God use this example many times, how controversial or how contradictory it can be. I think about one particular denomination back home from where I'm from in North Carolina. They did allow women to sit in the pulpit, to minister. But then all of a sudden they had a regulation change. Now, if you're a woman pastor, you can sit in the pulpit and you can preach from the pulpit. But if you're a minister or missionary, then they set the podium on the floor for them to teach from the floor. And I say, well, when you look at that, that looks contradictory, because how is it that you can say a woman, if she's a pastor, she can sit in the pulpit and she can preach from the podium. But if she's just a minister or elder missionary in that particular body, then she has to teach from the floor. And I said, well, that to me could be sort of what they call discrimination, when you look at it from that viewpoint, or we use certain types of scriptures to try to justify why, you know, women should not preach, women should not teach, or women should not hold that type of role in church. So that's just my viewpoint on it. And I was a doctor, use anybody they want to use, if they make themselves available. We do understand the order of God and how he established order when it comes to family, when it comes to the church itself. Without the women, I know we would not have church, because many men have left their position of leading as the head. And so this is why I believe you have a lot of men feel, especially, you know, I don't want to downgrade the brothers, but they use a certain term of, I would say caveman mentality. You know, feel like, well, you're supposed to walk behind me, you're supposed to submit to me, you're supposed to, follow my lead. But then you have a lot of men that are out of order. So that's just my viewpoint on it. I know there's certain scriptures that I believe, Prophet, you addressed that, but that's just my viewpoint on it.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Tim. Appreciate that. Anyone else from that would like to address? Yes. Yes, please. Come on in, Vander.
I come in alignment with Apostle Simmons that what's been stated, but yeah. A lot of times, from my research that I had, this is from the viewpoint, from the research that I have done in several years ago, and I ran across some background information that that was very enlightening to me, and it was written by this woman, and I want to say in the early 1900s, missionaries would go, when I said missionaries, I mean females, would go throughout the land, and they would help with ministries. But what I've come to find out, that especially in the background information that I was reading, that this is especially and for our culture, that they did not know how to read from the history. So a lot of times they were not had knowledge of a lot of scriptures. They were just going by what was handed down to them from generation to generation. And they didn't know how to study out the scriptures, because they were. So when the women were taught to read, and I know we were talking about in biblical times, the Bible says all this, but then I'm talking about when it came to current, that how it came about that, that it was preached even stronger, it's because the women knew how to read, and they were more, they were taught by these missionaries, especially in the, one area in Mississippi. There was a group of women, and the missionaries would teach them how to read. Was not for the purpose of so much for ministry, but they was teaching them how to read so that they can get jobs. And those women that was getting the job, they would go out and help raise money to help support the church in those in that region that was happening with this one particular ministry. So the men was raised up against them because they felt, I don't want to say belittled, but they felt that it was not ethical for them to do that. And they felt that they were out of place because they was working. But they weren't coming against the men or nothing like that. They were mainly raising money to help support the church. But the men did not like that they could read or that they could write. And so, therefore, they used that scripture that you were talking about, that the women was to stay silent in the church. They stressed it even the more because of what was going on. And so that was from my background, historical information that I ran across. And as Apostle Sina says, that a lot of times they misinterpret the scriptures because they didn't know. They just felt, well, God made us the head. The women ain't, stay silent in the church, but they didn't have the historical and all the other data that went along with it so that they can get a better understanding and knowing how to rightly divide the word of truth. So I am with him that God can use anybody to get his message across. And that's I'm just going to leave it right there.
Amen, Evangelist Wilkes. Thank you for sharing that as well with us. I'd like to shift real quickly. Elder Hunter, he won't be assisting us tonight because he's taking care of another event, but we bless the Lord for him as well. I guess my history and my family line and where I came from under the umbrella of holiness and my dad coming family, more Church of God. I wouldn't necessarily say Pentecostalism, but being brought up in the church and apostolic background in later years and connected with Church of God in Christ. He didn't leave a lot of things as it relates to the role of the woman, not necessarily due to the biblical teaching, because he came into the revelation as he got older and matured in some things, but as some things that he still continued to stand on as a bishop and the pastor. And so some of the traditions are good and some traditions are to be learned. I won't say bad, because I used to say some traditions aren't good, but they're to be learned about. And when you're learning something, you're studying and asking God to give you understanding of the background of those churches and the background of the history of the church or the Bible of the 66 books that discusses and talk about the church as it relates to those times. I was looking at the scripture that most leaders refer to as it relates to women in the church and the silence of them in the church. When I read the Word of God from the New Testament, which deals with 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 28. Now, I want to benchmark this because there's certain things still in me that God is working on me in And there's some things in me that God is bringing me to the revelation and the knowledge of. Now, saying that, I'm going to share what I believe the scripture is saying as it relates to women's in ministry and their role when they're talking about silence, silence in the church. Now, it's very interesting. Me and my dad have discussion about this now and even years later. He had a major mind change in the mind concerning certain things. But 1 Corinthians, where Paul is sharing or talking to the church from, is letters that Paul wrote. These letters that Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians was dealing with conflict that was going on in the church. And the identity and the problems in the Corinthian church, he was offering solutions in the church to the believers who were dealing with a lot of corruption that was going on in the church and during that time. Now, when you study the Corinthian church, you'll find out Corinthian was in a major metropolitan area near the seaport of major cities of Asia. It was filled with idolatry, immorality, and the church was largely made up of us, the Gentiles, where the word Gentile was not actually in the Bible. It was called nation before they changed the word to Gentile. And Paul was establishing a church in a journey while he was in his missionary journey. And there was conflict. So the hub of Corinth was full of debauchery, ancient temples, the prostitution. So there was a lot going on in the transition of that particular area and region. And Paul recognized and realized that there was issues going on in the church at Corinthians. So he wrote letters to the church concerning these issues and these conflicts that were there going on in Corinthians. And in those, he was addressing the conflict that came through the women that was there, the issue that was there, the false teaching and the corruption that was going along in the church. Corinthians is comprised of three letters. Actually, this particular book only gives us two letters, a record of it. So theologically, there was a second letter that never reached Corinthians, the church at Corinthians, because Paul, thank God that it didn't arrive, because some of the issue at Corinthians were resolved. So the second letter is actually the third letter that reaches the church at Corinth. So 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians are almost the same. The first letter was a hard letter. The second letter was more of a kinder letter. The actual third letter probably was one of a letter that was even more harder as it relates to what was going on. So when you read chapter 14, you will find out he moved from the characteristic of dealing with the issue. Chapter 12, he's teaching on or sharing with the people on spiritual gifts. He's talking about the spiritual gift, order of service. He's chapter 12 is questioning the covering of the head, the worship and public worship. Chapter 10 is avoiding idolatry or idol worship. And chapter 14 opens us up with a conversation, 13, with Paul talking about the power of love. Even though you have all the gift and all of the greatness, you have to have love. And the greatest of these is love. Now, he opens us up in chapter 14, teaching about the gift of prophecy in tongues. Now, when you read down, for the sake of time, I just want to go into verse 26 here. And Paul is speaking here. He says, how is it? This is 1 Corinthians 14 and 26. He said, how is it then, brethren? It's the question. When ye come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has a interpretation. Let all things be done unto edify. Everything's supposed to edify the body of Christ. Edify. To edify the body of Christ, it means to strengthen. If you put underline that word, edify, to strengthen. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, the most by three. And that by course, let one interpret it. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Now notice, he's dealing with conversation here. He's speaking of conversation. He's speaking of orderly conversation. So he's going through conversation. And then he comes down in that particular verse 28. He said, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Now, verse 29, he said, let the prophet speak two or three and let the others judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold their peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may be learned, comma, and all may be comforted, period. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but peace as in all churches of the saints. Now, verse 34. He said, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also said the law. Now notice here, when you read it, Paul is talking about the law. So he's dealing with an issue under the Old Testament as it relates to the law. And what he's saying under the law is that the women were not permitted to talk under the law, but under obedience. Now look at what he says here. He said, let your women keep silent in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience. Now, if a woman is under obedience, as also said the law, if they're under the obedience of their husband or their leader, then it's permitted for them to be able to speak because of what was transcribed under the law. Now, many of us know that the law in the Old Testament, Jesus never did away with the law. He fulfilled it. By fulfilling it, he did what? What was concealed, he revealed. In other words, when he revealed something, he revisited it. Paul is revisiting the letter of the law and explaining to the people that based upon what we see under the law, it is very contradictory to what Jesus came to do when he met him on the road of Damascus in chapter number 9. Paul to himself kept the law to the letter, but his introduction to God opens him up to have a relationship with God, to understand what that time period meant and what was going on in that time period. So based upon that time period, the law was the letter. Jesus went on to say, the letter killeth. Now what it did, when he used the word killeth, many people didn't have an opportunity under the law. And if you was an outsider of other nation, you were not even accepted under the law due to Judaism and due to the commandment that came through the Mosaic law system of the 601 rules or laws. So therefore, he comes to explain to the people at Corinthian who were new believers and converted based upon their ways and their tradition. So he explains to them that this rule applied to you so that you will understand that things that are going on at Corinthian, you must do it under the obedience of the law. However, I am here now to let you know that if you are under authority and obedient, then the letter still stands, but your obedience opens up the door. When you obedience to God, it opens up the door for you to be able to fulfill what was revealed and concealed. I hope this is blessing somebody today. So that we will be as believers understanding that the word of God does not change, but timing and dispensation change. Because in Joel 2 and 28, it talks about our sons and daughters will then be able to operate through the Spirit of God because there will be an outpouring of His Spirit. Now, the problem with outpouring is people use events in history to define the historical marker of the Lord. Every event in history was set time. It didn't end the presence of God. God is an Omega, and then He's an Alpha. Those are Greek words. So He's the beginning and the end. But I like to put it like this. God is a eternity. So there's no beginning to God and no end to God from the Greek mythology or mysticism of the Greek goddess. So therefore, when you study the Bible biblically, you have to understand the revelation that God is explaining to us outside the translation of a man's mindset, thought, and will, and even a woman. So the 26 scholars of 16 and 11 and the previous theologians that wrote other scripts to the Bible based upon the scrolls and based upon the Arabic and the Hebrew and the German and the Latin and the languages, they only explaining what God gave them at that appointed time. So therefore, what he's saying here, if we're going to follow this theological teaching, we must go back to the original point that Paul was saying as it relates to communication, speaking in tongues, as it relates to revealing, as it relates to prophecy, as it relates to those things being done in the church. We put a limit and a cap on God, and when you do that, you really cap yourself, because what people say, we got to take the limits off God. God will laugh at you. Do you think God got any limits on Him? No, you need to just say, let me take the limits off myself on my teaching and what I thought and what I would learn. Now, when you go back to this part when he said women, he's really trying to say to those who were in a state of rebellion against the presentation of what was going on at Corinth. We have a lot of people that are out of order in the body of Christ, and they out of order because of their emotions, because of how they feel, how they think, transitional times in their life or month. So he was explaining to them that they should be able to speak. However, you must be under authority also as the law said. But Paul's revelation brings us to understand as he goes further, he said, if they will learn and think, let them ask their husband at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church, because there were people who were out of order in the church. So he explained that to them. And then he said, the question, what came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think of himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if a man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Now, therefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. So he goes on to go right back into the prophetic. He goes right back into the prophetic word. He goes right back into prophecy, acknowledging things. And he goes right back to the commandment. So in Paul writing here, we get narrow-minded in our presentation because of our ability to deceive and manipulate the people, or a lack of understanding of the word of God. It's good to understand theology. It's a good thing. It's good to study the word of God. It's good to have a clarity understanding of the word of God. But I beg to pardon the people. If God tell Mary to birth out Yeshua and she was able to carry the word, don't you think she's able to speak the word? So we have to be able to come to the knowledge and the understanding of it. It's just that she has to be under that authority and under the presentation of her husband or her leader or her covering. Many times we as a world of people do not have an understanding of certain things. So therefore, it makes it difficult for the word of God to come forth with understanding, because we have a lot of narrow-minded people who are religiously instructed from their background of their history and not understanding the revelation of God from the right now. The kairos of God always supersedes the logos. The logo is the written word of God. It's the written word of God by translation of man. So men have translated this Bible many times over. So the word of God, we can't call it infallible. We have to call it a translation of the word of God by translator. There are many powerful vessels of women that can preach, teach, and share the word of God, which is a given in the land. And some of them can outmaster they can outmaster some of the men in their preaching. So what I'm trying to say is that it is important for the believer to understand the characteristics. Now, when you're preaching, there's a style of preaching, which we call hermeneutics and homiletics, the art of preaching or the art of a text. And so many times, we have women who are very creative. They don't have a beautification of how they do their presentation. In other words, they preach from a masculinity standpoint instead of a femininity, creativity. And so until I believe that this is just something I came up with out of my own Prophet Lorraine Matthews archive, I believe that when she flowed, she should flow in a femininity creativity to bless the kingdom of God instead of a masculinity thought process. But she can bring the word of God to the people of God with understanding and knowledge. Now, the battle between the pulpit, or who sits in a seat in a pulpit and who sits in a pew and preach, or who sits on the floor, who sits anywhere, sound is not defined by a sitter. Sound is defined by a creator. So it makes no difference where you sit in the building. When you open your mouth, the masterpiece of the oil on your life will outmaster the creativity of sitting in any place in the building. So the argument for me, theologically, with my co-laborers in Bible study or relationship, is that whether she sits in the pulpit with us, she'll be sitting in the pit, whether she sits on the front row, or whether she sits on the lower floor. It makes no difference where she sits. Her sound is not defined by a city. It's defined by the creativity of the masterpiece within her. So when you read this and understand this, many people must know that when you're teaching the word of God as a woman of God or evangelist or whatever you want to call yourself in the fivefold ministry gift, I believe that if God give you a word from the Lord under the authority of your husband or your leadership or the person that's connected to you, you should have permission to release the word of God based upon what's inside of you so that the kingdom of God can be blessed. Now, the outpouring that we talk about in Joel and then mastering it in the book of Acts chapter number 2, when he said it shall come to pass, and then in Acts it said afterwards it shall come to pass. So he went from the law of it shall come to pass, and now after it came to pass. So we in the after effect of what was kept in position or select. Now, culturally, I understand what Evangelist Wilkes was talking about during that time period. It is important that a lot of women, especially in the South and in other countries, and even us, that's not just the women. That was just a generation of what we call race relationship, or I would call racism, was to uneducate us all, especially melanated people or black people, and because of what was inside of us. So that changes the trajectory of the knowledge that's been given to us now in this dispensation of time. It's almost like we're going back to going into churches where we have Dr. Watts songs, and people are singing Dr. Watts in 2022. But then you have a generation that don't understand Dr. Watts. They understand R&B. They understand hip-hop. They understand different songs that they sing. And these songs are based upon what we call a genre of music. So we still say, you can't sing that, you can't play that. But in 1800s and 1700s, when we were slaves, or 1861, before Emancipation Proclamation was defined, people were enslaved and didn't even know they were slaves until June 19th, I believe, 1861, I believe, and let's try to go to the record and find that. So when you look at time cycles and time period, there are people that didn't catch up. They kept eating Heinz instead of catching up with the blood. The blood flow, Heinz ketchup, you pour on it and go slow. So we have to bring the people from a Heinz mindset, from hindsight, into understanding the blood flow of God. And people don't understand that because they've been trained and they've been taught from a religious or systematic religion or systematic ways of teaching. I'm just kind of giving that point of view there. This is just kind of my own opinion, adding with the reading. I'm going to stop there and just kind of end. But I believe that God, in his omnipotent, in his omniscient, in his omnipresent ways, he knows what the body of Christ needs and the believers need through a vessel that's available, that's on his payroll, and not on somebody's religious role, denominational role, or front role, or back role in life. Amen. And that's why I put it at Administrator Brian.
Dr. Matthew, I want to add, you laid it out so well. I want to add to what you just stated as well, based upon some other denominations teach too, from Paul's writings to Timothy, when Paul let Timothy know that, in particular, I believe it's in First Timothy, I believe it's around about the second chapter, where he was talking about where women should assert authority over a man because Adam did not sin. It was the woman. That's what Paul was addressing to Timothy so far. So that's why he was saying, do not allow women to assert authority over a man. So I think a lot of denominations take it from that viewpoint as well and use that to say women shouldn't teach, preach, because if a woman be a pastor, then they feel like a woman is usurping authority over the man and she's teaching the man. That's the what they, you know, some of them was teaching from, based upon what, you know, I experienced down through being a part of some of those fellowships.
Yeah. You know, Apostle Timon, that's another battle that we have in the church world, because we know that Adam did not sin, but guess what? Adam was somewhere else in the garden. So you have to ask yourself the question, even though he may not sin, where was he at when another man was talking to his woman? So we have to find out the question now is that what salve was available for her need? Y'all ain't ready for me. You have to understand that if a certain, let me leave that alone because I got to go somewhere. Let me just be quiet. Touch of music, Prophet Mandy, be quiet. Anyway, so we understand what the Word of God said, even as it relates to the garden. However, at the same time, we're going back to Old Testament over what we call New Testament. So there's a battle within those background, even Paul speaking to Timothy about asserting authority. And when he's talking to him, he's letting him know that his wife or the woman should not assert her authority over the man. And we understand that. Now, when you look at asserting the authority, we're talking about relationship between two individuals, not fellowship with a body of believers. So when she's preaching, she's not asserting her authority over the believers. She's preaching Jesus to the life of a man of God and woman of God. And so, therefore, it is important for us to understand the presentation of Paul writing as it relates to the state of the church or the mindset of the people. Now, it's an embarrassment for a woman to assert her authority over her man in a public place because it's going to cause a rooftop experience. Ask David. David in on the rooftop of his house. And the word of the Lord God said, I'd rather you be on the rooftop than in a house with a brawling woman. So we can have to go back and talk to David about his experience. How did he get on the rooftop? And then we have to ask Solomon, what did he mean about you'd rather be on the rooftop than in a house with a brawling woman? So that means that a woman of God must be learned and trained how to deal with the man and her role as she's dealing with a man, like many do not, because they don't have a father figure in their home. And they have women with generational hurts and pains from relationship with men. And then we have those who theologically have those issues that are far deep. That's for an audience of a million plus people to sit down and talk about the discussion over the board, men on one side and women on another side, so we can deal with the issue. But I believe that when he's talking about that, he's explaining to him that she has to understand her position when she's connected to that man or she's dealing with a man of God of authority or a person of authority in their relationship or their connection. Once we understand that the timing and the writing that Paul was sharing with Timothy in his exiting out is to be able to know and understand the women have to understand their position when it comes to man and man with woman. But in this case, Paul is talking about the woman. So from that perspective, that conversation was all about the asserting one's authority over the man. And he was letting Timothy know that, Timothy, you're the lead, you're the head. And you have to know your duty and your responsibility. And those women that are under you and those women that are connected to you, their role, their duty, and their responsibility. And many times in 2019, 2023, men really don't know themselves because they haven't had a father figure in the household either. And they have to understand their position. And a lot of women have to understand their position as it relates to dealing with the man of God or the man, period, so that this part would not be confusion and it won't come into the textual or cause conflict as it relates to the text here that we're sharing from. Because if we're using this text here within using it from a spiritual content so people can understand the role of the church and the duty of the church. And then Timothy can explain it to the men and explain it to the women what their duty is outside of the church, because it's important that everyone understand that the Word of God applies to all of us in the body and those who are out of the body who will come to the revelation to understand what Paul was saying or understand this letter that was written to the believers. I hope that made a little sense there, made some sense, or was able to help the people out. Because I do understand that, and it's important because there's certain things that happen as it relates to the female and certain things that she deals with and certain times, transitional times of the month, and certain things she deals with, that she has to be very careful based upon her body and based upon how she feels and based upon how she addressed things as it relates to the church and the Word of God. Amen. I'm trying to graduate you all, so thank you all. If y'all, I'm just trying to graduate in the season. Yeah, but you're right, Apostle. Oh, anyone else? Anyone else?
Yes. To the question, I've been
sitting back. Some things are hard for me. And some things are hard for me, too, because of what I've been taught and what I've been trained. And there's certain points that I believe in, but I try not to make an argument publicly, and I say it privately, especially as it relates to titles and positions. Come on in, prophetess. I'm sorry.
Yes, I was sitting back listening. I agree with everyone. When I was thinking of a question, I listened, and I'm, what is the agenda? Because God will make room for your gift. So if you're in a place where the gift is not received, why be somewhere to press an issue? Now you're not where God really intended for you to be at, then I want to pose a question. If God called you, you don't have to force your gift on anyone. He validates you. So women, and everybody don't agree, I'm just a realist in watching in ministry. Why are we trying to force a man to approve of us in ministry when it's a lot of ministry out here to be done, especially when we're talking about ministering to women and younger women, children. It's a lot of ministry in that. But it seems like the only way a woman is feeling validated in ministry is to be in a pulpit or in a church when we have a lot of ministry out in the community to minister to. And why is always the focus of men approving us in ministry? The focus should be, go ye therefore in the land, ministering to all, not looking for the approval of a man to approve us in ministry. We have to get back to what are we really doing? Is this kingdom work or is we doing church building work? Because the kingdom is about going into the land, not in the building. That's all.
Amen. Thank you, Prophet. Is right. That's a very powerful and valid point there as well. And what you're sharing with us. So I think, thank you for it. Releasing that to us all as well. That's a powerful what you shared with us as well. Amen. Thank you. I was gonna jump on that and ride a race with you on that and pass a baton. But what I will say as it relates to that. The Word of God, the 66 books gives us application. It gives us history. It gives us events. It gives us stories. And from that, believers who are really invested in God must know that there will be some things as it relates to the Word of God that will be considered contradictory of themselves. And you will find it. But when God begins to reveal to you who he is in you, then that changes what we look at as biblical understanding. When I say that, it doesn't kill the word, but it being revelation to what you're reading. And you're able to make a judgment call when it comes to your gift being opened up to you and your eye opening to understand the word of God from many perspectives in the Bible and in the word of the Lord God. And for many of us, I take nothing for a woman that looks for support or validation from the head of man. But you have to make sure if you're going to receive the validation from the head, you want to make sure the head is not broken. You want to make sure the head will be able to push what's inside of you to the place of where you're going in the kingdom of God and in that relationship with God. And it's also important to understand that you don't necessarily have to be in a synagogue, a temple, a mosque, a church building to share the word of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. And so wherever you are at, let your hand do the work, as the word of God said in Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. So there's no work, no device, nor anything else under the sun. So he's open for the believers to be able to understand and to receive that, that the work of God is at hand. Yeah. All right, Administrator Brian, does anyone else have, anyone that's sitting in the background, have a question and comment for us if you want, you send in the background. Thank you, Prophetess Tina Rice. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you, Apostle Simmons. Thank you, Evangelist Wilkes, Dr. Wilkes. We appreciate that as well. Anyone else?
Dr. Matthew.
All right. Yes.
Okay, there's a reply to that question.
Sure.
The person that sent the question said, I understand being relevant to reach lost souls for the kingdom of God, but what would you say churches are taking for it? Example, there's been conversely about Pastor Mike Todd of Transformation Church modernized Easter service and the play. Many religious leaders believe it was more for show and was demonic, like the music awards. What is your take on this?
Okay, say that again, Administrator Brian, so I can try to share what. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, they said that they understand being relevant to reach lost souls for the kingdom of God. But what would you say churches are taking too far? Example, there's been conversely about Pastor Mike Todd of Transformation Church modernized Easter service and the play. Many religious leaders believe it was more for show and was demonic, like the music awards. What is your take on this?
Well, I don't know that pastor at all, and I can't really speak to the matter at hand as it relates to what he was doing. I don't know if somebody else can talk about. What did he do? He just, for Easter Sunday, what you're saying is that instead of him preaching the word of God, he made it a play. Is that what you're saying?
I guess, probably say modernized the play. Oh, yes, they're saying yes.
Okay. I'm trying to. Well, first let me tap into the word relevant. When the person talking about relevant, when we look at things from relevant, we have to look at it from the place of what it said. What relevant means to many of us on today. So we're talking about things that are for the now or closely connected to the appropriate time and what is being done or considered for this time, relevant, or the current time or current period, circumstances. Now, relevant became a word in the 16th century. As Scott's legal term, meaning legally permanent. And when you look at it from this, relevant in the what we call medieval Latin language means to raise up or revelar. So it means what's for now compared to what was then. And so when you use the word relevant, we're talking about what's being applied in this century, in this dispensation, in this hour or era. So I don't know what this pastor did as it relates to his service, but let me say this as it relates to relevance. When you look at something that's relevant, you look at somebody that's closely taking the truth of the Word of God, and applying it to what's going on now and not changing the truth. So relevant means that we're taking the term and making it truth relevant for right now. So they've taken the truth of God and applying it to the earth right now. So therefore, here's the question I must ask them in the pastor. If we're going to take Easter Sunday, which is pagan and a lie, it's not relevant. It's a lie. It's taking a lie and trying to sell the truth. So therefore, if we go to truth, we'll realize that pagan stuff entered into the church world, and we're using pagan stuff to make it relevant for now, which is not true. Now, isn't it interesting? We have a lot of believers that are running around saved, sanctified, filled with the precious gift of the almost, not the Holy Ghost, Pentecostalism and not Pentecostalism, Pentecost you something, and not preaching truth. If you're going to attack the theological presentation of what's relevant, then we have to go back to truth. And let truth be brought to modern day so it could be expounded to the lives of the people. Because truth has to prevail. And when we celebrate pagan holidays and pagan events and call it truth, no, it's a lie. So it's relevant to create an event in the world that does not have any significance to the salvation of a believer, but based upon a tradition of what's been taught to people, that's a lie. So we want to bring the truth to the people so that they can understand relevant as it relates to truth and as it relates to these times for the believer. Now, if that pastor chose to take a service that he has and create a play from that place of perspective, that's a choice that he made. And for the religious leaders or those who watched it or those who are getting their opinion concerning that area, it's quite unique that you would judge the characteristic of something that carries so much falsivity to it and never nothing that's creative in the things of God. God is trying to get the world to understand that the word of truth will always prevail over the word of mankind or man's writing as it relates to modern day. Now, relevance is important because we can take truth and apply it to today and give it to the people of God so they can understand it. The word of God said many people are going to be forever learning. They'll never come into the knowledge of the truth. Then you have those who are, they'd rather have the lie than the truth to do that. And that was the argument when Samuel came on the scene in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel based upon his father Eknah and his mother Hannah. It was a transitional time in the land, whereas Jews or Israel were a rebellious people, and they requested that they no longer serve Elohim, but they wanted a king. They wanted something tangible that they can feel. And so through Samuel's life being recorded as one of that would be the prophet of that time, who would want to be a judge during the transitional period of time. He would go from, he would actually be a judge, the last judge of Israel, and he would then move from judge to prophet. So he would move from judging through frequency, then judging, he would judge through frequency, he would judge through eternity, because he would be the sound of God for that place. And one of the things about that relationship is when he came to God about what the people said, God said, give them a king. Give them what they desire. Give them exactly what they desire. I believe it's in one of the Corinthians, in Samuel. And he said, yeah, give the people what they desire, because what they recognize, most people in transitions of time don't understand when you transit, that means you're moving. When you're in a trance, that means you're not doing anything. You're thinking because you're trying to figure out how to transition, whether it's truth or lie. So in the transition, he gave them a king. So he sought out Saul, and he told Saul, you will be king. Saul will be of the Benjamite tribe, the Lord tribe, and he would become king. But he said, I'm going to – the people had to understand that they was moving from what we call theocracy to monarch, to being ruled by a man instead of already being dominated by a president, which is God who brought them all the way through that. And so when we look at how the word of God is bought and sold in a transitional time, people's minds are always looking for something new as it relates to making them feel good compared to making his presence dominate in them. The greatest prophetic realm is when somebody can reveal the mysteries of eternity and share it with humanity in the world to show them that what they actually are was done from the foundation. That means that if I prophesy to you now, you're amazed by the prophecy and you're blessed by the prophecy. But the prophecy was already spoken of in eternity. It's just that you move past the hijacking spirit realm that is housing the truth about who you are. I've just been given privilege from God to transmit a word into your life that is truth about your life, so you won't live a fantasy about what you assume or think. You may have an idea. So when you look at how things are being done, it's being done by many people in the body of Christ and even the world. That because the spirit of illusion and delusion and hallucination is at a high level because there's a drought in the church world or a drought in the land of effective leaders because they all are infected, they're not effective, so many people will create events to pacify the people or to make the people happy. You're going to always deal with haters who are always going to compare things concerning the knowledge of God's word. And men and women of God, we have to understand this, that God is a masterpiece of his creativity. If I end on this, Romans 8:1 introduce us to Paul writing about there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who do what? Walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Now, isn't it powerful? He said, walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And so, and then he takes us through a presentation of intercession, and he takes us through understanding the power of the glory of God and what we go through, and brings us down to the 28th verse. And he says this, he says the glory, or no, he says this to them, and we know that all things work together for good to them who are the call, or to them who love God, who are the call according to his purpose. So everything that God does from the beginning to the end, he can transmit it, change it to work together for the good of them who are the call. Now, he didn't say who are called, because that means somebody's waiting for a call. Who are the call, C-A-L-L-E-D, the call. So it makes it effective that a call was made. Now, there are people who are waiting for a call from somebody else, but the call means you understand where you are at in God. So who are the call according to his purpose, or love him that according to his purpose. So even though that man might have created an event, when truth shows up, truth can take a simple event that looked like a show and create a showtime from that place. Everything that's done on the earth. Now listen to this, people of God. Every single thing that's on this earth, God can turn it around and make it work for your good, according to what? His purpose. So everything in the earth realm could be done for the purpose of God. That is why Lucifer, Satan, is so angry, because he can never change the mind of God. Because when he gets finished lying, when truth shows up, he's still going to die. He knows his future. You must know the plan in the future that God has for you when you were once in his hand. In saying that, believers have to understand that every event that's done can be transmitted for the betterment of the kingdom of God when truth shows up. Even if it's done from that place, what's relevant is truth, and truth shall prevail. Even if I lie, even if I mess up, even if I have shortcomings, truth is not going to change. Even if somebody judged me, truth ain't going to change. Even if somebody said things that I've done or things you've done, truth will always show up. Why? Because when you love God, truth will prevail over what you once loved in something else. And that means that every time truth shows up, everything that was too cheap for your future become a cubic zirconia, and you rise as a diamond. So in saying that, the believers must be able to understand that you are the men and women of God, whether you're preaching on a Sunday or preaching on a Tuesday or following people along the way or doing what you do in ministry. It is important to understand that everything that's done, when truth shows up, it proves that God will always respond to those that love him. Now, I hope that made sense, because I don't know the man of God. I don't know what they did on that Sunday. I was too busy trying to bless the people that Restoration Foundation, Prophetic International Ministry. I was looking to that and kind of give my opinion. But I'm very sensitive when it comes to somebody else's revelation or preacher revelation or what God gives them on their Sunday in their church. So I'm not trying to be nosy as it relates to what is going on in that ministry or my opinionated person, because I believe that we all are trying to make heaven our home and not hell our destination. So I want to and connect it back to the question at hand, as it relates to women preaching under authority and those things. Revelant means when truth connects itself to the appropriate time for the lives of the people so that those who are not under truth will know the truth, and the truth will not set, but it will make you free. Amen. I hope that made sense, and not to take away from the dialogue or the conversation. Well, I want to stop. Amen.
Hey, Prophet, based upon that, I believe what it is, I have seen it myself, but I heard it on the radio. The radio personality, they were asking a question of how do people feel about what had transpired. Then they said some certain things about using some entertainment stuff from Hollywood, like some of the mainstream, like Beyonce and different ones like that. It's like I always call it light, camera, and action. But most time you'll see it in the mega or big ministries, you know, where you see people on stage performing, you know. But I think here was from a drama into an Easter enactment. But what he was using, from what they were saying, I think it was like contradicted to many Christian beliefs when it pertains to Easter. And I think you broke it down. Yeah, you broke it down because of the way people mindset at. But you got to be very careful too, because it can be deceiving or used as in a deception by the enemy to deceive the immature, because you got immature, because he got a lot of unbelievers following him because of his social media status, being on, you know, TikTok and YouTube with dealing with relationships. Yeah. I have seen some of his relationship talks, good stuff that he's been sharing. Based upon how the enemy could come in to deceive a lot of young people, and I think that's where he's getting a lot of backlash up from the religious sector, saying that's not connected to God. That's, and it's almost like, you know, how Kanye West, when he have his what they call Sunday church service out in L.A. to go out to this big place and have their services, you know, all the different people, unbelievers, rappers, Hollywood stars, all of them show up. It's something similar to that is kind of true, that's contradicted to the belief of, you know, religious belief of Easter. Yeah, so I haven't seen it, but they're just hearing talk about it.
Okay, so is Mike Todd the pastor? He's the pastor of the church?
Yes.
Because I have to really go in and find a little bit more history. I heard he's an American film producer, so he's a film producer. I think Mike Todd is a film producer, correct? I think he is. And and from his movies and his producer, is that his son? Or do we have a son? Is that a son that carries the mantle or something like that? I'm trying to understand. Well, I don't know.
I don't know what the minister is like to help. I know he is he's the pastor of the ministry out there. So I don't know what else he's doing.
Okay. So there's a lot of good points and bad points to things. And I think everybody start off in a good way to start off doing good, and then they end up moving into the entertainment part of it to share with the people, because he's a black pastor. I'm going to it now to see what he's doing. Man of God, this is what I say. An enemy uses every expression to influence the mind of the people. And we as believers have to get to the business making some relevant decisions and choices as it relates to the church. And this young pastor is doing everything in his power to bring a transformation to the lives of the people. And if it's wrong, God's going to have to judge him as it relates to that. It is time for us to bring the word of God to the world into truth today. As it relates to this, I just believe that based upon what I just kind of view of, the play was all about entertainment, but to give the people what they need to understand this Easter festivity, which is all pagan in the beginning. And so I'll just leave it right there. But I totally understand what you're saying, man of God, and what is being released and brought to by us. So, I'm going to do my best to make heaven my home, teach the people about the righteousness of God and the things of the Lord God, and so that truth can prevail even concerning these events that are going on in the celebration of pagan events as well.
Hey, Prophet, can I share this last piece, and that's like a comment?
Sure, man, please. Yeah, please.
Last piece, what the Lord is dealing with me about, I'm praying about, and I believe it might help many of us as we continue to pray and intercede. The Lord was really dealing with me about the black church and about our culture. Now, I'm not a racist person, but God don't leave us in the dark. He'll allow you to study history. He'll allow you to connect the dots. And if we don't really study history, you know the old saying says history repeats itself. And, you know, I was dealing with a message on yesterday about, you know, really our mind. If we don't really rend our heart and our mind to God, how we'll come back into a place of incarceration or imprisonment to our, we'll come really a slave to our flesh, our selves, carnality. You went to the scripture, Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. We walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Now, I asked a question this morning to two coworkers that was not saved. I asked them a question. I said, let me ask you something. I said, explaining the part about being, and you can still be slave to yourself. You can do your own thing, do whatever you don't want to do from your thinking and your viewpoint. But I try to drive it back to the slave master, what the slave master really done to the black race. Again, I say I'm not racist just because we have any, you know, white heels or viewers on or any other nationality.
Yeah.
I'm not racist. But I said when you look at how they play games with our people, manipulate our people, and you look at the black church, we still carry a lot of that on in the black church. And I said, I asked them a question. I said, where did this certain word, this curse word derive from? This certain curse word. I ain't going to say it on the line, Prophet, but when you hear somebody say mother F, I said, what do you think that word derived from? They didn't know. I said, okay, connect the dots. Take it back to history. I mean, you could study. You could Google it out there on social media. Now, back in slavery time, the slave master took the young black, young teenagers, they may have been 14, 15, 16-year-old, had them to sleep with their mothers, use the other word, this is how you got a lot of deformity. That's why you have a lot of deformities like in Africa and different parts of the world when they sleep with their own bloodline, you get the deformities. So what they were doing was contaminating their bloodline, and they would get with their other colleagues and sit back and laugh, talking about that ML, you know, he elf his mother. So that's where that terminology came from. But you see a lot of stuff still in the black church that's taking on a lot of stuff that originated from the slave master. Like you said, different things that we're dealing with even today in the black church. Some of the stuff that the black church that we're doing that only really line up with God's word, or the things that we're doing spiritually. We'll call it spiritual religion, but it's still a lot of stuff that came from the European, came from the slave masters that passed on down to our people, because Dr. Wilkes brought it out about they could read and write. So all the different things that they were doing, they implemented in them, put it in their mind, put it in their heart. That's why they're putting guns and drugs in our community. Prophet, you teach on that all the time. They put it in our community, what, to kill our black men, to call our black men to leave the home, go into prison. I had to buy more prison to what? Incarcerate our young black men, to pull them out of the home from the women. Now the women got to take headship to lead the family, teach young boys how to be a man, teach young girls how to be a woman. And the black church is really not paying attention to a lot of this stuff that's going on in the earth now. And it's crazy. But we got to really discern and grab hold to really what God is revealing to us, what is happening, so that we won't keep right on repeating history. And that's what we're doing. We keep right on repeating history. The enemy is using a different method, man. He's using a different method to deceive God's people and to wear us out. He come to wear out the saints of the Most High. And if we don't really get into a place to understand, to connect the dots, no matter where it's at, connect the dots. Some people say, well, it ain't affecting me. It ain't really hit my region or hit my community or my city or my family. I beg to differ. It's hitting all of us. Just like with the guns, the violence that we see with all the shootings. America had over, what, 136 mass shootings just in 2023.
Yeah.
But we got to connect the dots, man. That's why I thank God for prophets, man, that God don't leave us in the dark, that we can see, that we can help the people of God to come into a place to know that they will not be deceived, man. I just want to share that piece, man. But people don't connect
good.
The dots, man.
Absolutely. That's very good, man of God, that you're bringing that point up. And, you know, tonight is open forum, but by the same time when we have questions and comments, those comments come out of these questions due to what we're sharing. In most open forum, people stick to the mainframe of the question and they can't deviate from it, or they try to stay in that mindset. But when the revelation kicks in, we can address those questions by connecting an addendum to the question, to the line item, to take us back to where things start and what it originated from. So what we're talking tonight in open forum is a question about women being silent in the church. And I think Prophetess Rice made a good point about men's opinion and what we can do outside. Evangelist Wilkes brought a very important point up about the history of women being uneducated concerning the knowledge of reading and being able to understand that. That covers all of us, the multiplicity of people, not just the women. And then you're addressing the point of how history is really telling our story, but history has been stolen because we're still being miseducated because of integration. Integrated us with people who did not care about us. And so the people who did not care about us, they deceived us and integrated us. We had Wall Street. We had Black Street. We had the lottery. We had the best doctors in the world. We had the best chemists in the world. We had all of creativity. We had the best basketball players when they didn't want us to play in the NBA. We had the MAA or whatever that was. We were the best Negro League. They were coming over to the Negro Leagues to learn from us. They gave Jackie Robinson the opportunity to come in, and they still disrespected him, but they loved his creativity. It's so interesting that people who love us the most want to kill us the greatest. And then those who understand us the most about our creativity have been trained to hold us bound and hold us down. So therefore, we are a target from within our own house, our own environment, and our own community. And then we are an external target by a system that does not, they need everything about the masterpiece of the brain and the knowledge of the brain that they still, they you can't kill us. I'm sorry to say that. You can't stop us. I'm sorry to say that too. So you have to come to the revelation that it's a historical event that is continually come around again, and it's going to continue to come around again until there's one who will be able to stand for the truth and release the truth to the world. with 6 billion people in millions of churches, and I'll just take a swig at it, maybe 7 to 8 million churches around, well, I'm going to say in the United States, 300 some million and probably 4,800 churches or less, maybe go, I think it's more than that. I'd say 100,000 churches in the United States with the number that they have in those churches. It's really a power struggle to be on top or to be the head, but not bringing the totality of the truth alive so people can understand that in a world full of machination, we have to be able to stand together to deal and to bring everything into understanding of the Word of God for a lost people. And even as you using that term, that where that came from, that goes back to etymology, the study of words, when that word came on the scene and when it became relevant for that time, and then how it continued to be what it is in the ancestral line, incest, instead of understanding the ancestral line. So we don't want you to understand your ancestral line, so we'll create incest for your line, and then you'll be all confused with who you are, your identity, your family, your bloodline, and let's go on. So those things that you're bringing up right now is very important, man of God. So I just thank God for you being able to address that and share that with us. Amen. Anyone else tonight? Righty. Well, I thank God for what was shared. Top of the evening. God bless you.
Yeah, top of the evening. God bless you, prophet and people of God, my kingdom brothers and sisters, and Minister Brian and all. I did have a question, but not pertaining to that, but to
sure.
Mike.
Sure, it's okay. Whatever the question is.
I had another question I've been pondering on, and it's the Holy Spirit versus Holy Ghost. So what's being said is that there are two different deities of God, what I've been getting from others. But when I read in certain translations, like my older King James Version that I got about 15 years ago, it still has a Passover in it. It doesn't say Easter. And the one that I have, like, it says Spirit. Like, for example, for Luke 1 and 35, where it said that the Spirit came upon Mary to conceive, one of the newer King James Version says the Holy Ghost came upon her.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The older version says that's the Holy Spirit. But they're saying, like, the Holy Ghost is like the God man, like a man of God, if I'm saying that right. Because they're saying that we couldn't be filled with the Spirit because it'd be too much for us to handle. So it'd be the Holy Ghost that we'd be filled with. So I'm thinking things are being changed. God is not the author of confusion, first of all. And I'm thinking that things can be changed, you know.
Absolutely.
So I'm thinking things are being changed, our language, our words or certain things are being changed to, the way I'm thinking is like to delay our supplications, our destiny. It's trying to confuse our language. You know, as we pray, I'm thinking like, do we supposed to be praying a certain way? Like, do we say Holy Spirit? Is it stopping something? You know, so I'm just thinking like it's trying to confuse the language of the kingdom of God to delay our supplications, our destinations, if we're praying wrong, if we don't supposed to say Holy Spirit or versus Holy Ghost. But is there a difference?
Let me share this with you, a woman of God. I have to be very careful because I've been in pursuit for years, coming from where I came from. I'm in pursuit of truth. I'm in pursuit of it. I'm in pursuit of it because even studying the Jesuit order in the Catholic Church and how 90% of organizations that do their ordaining bishops do it from the Catholic standpoint or the Catholic, the catechist or the order of the Catholic Church. And it's brought to you by Catholicism and based upon what they learned from that. or paganism, or how they do the garment and how they drape the bishops and how they bring them into the things of the bishopric. Some people do it differently. And then you have them to use the same type of strategy when they ordain a man or a woman to the office of an apostle. And they use the same strategy, the same formula of establishing the order of a bishop or a apostle. There's so much arguments, woman of God, as it relates to the modern day teaching, as it relates to the bishop and the apostle. The apostle supersedes the bishop. The bishop supersedes the apostle. And the apostasy of the church has been written in so many different ways. And I'm not a historian of church. I'm not a historian of Bible. But what I will say is I do have some understanding when it comes to the Word of God and the revelation of God. And I try to study, and I believe Evangelist Wilkes, who does a lot of study in terms of the Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit and all of the things. And if you look at your Bible, how the content of the Word of God have changed over the years, even to 1987, some translation was made. And you go into the 70s and 60s, the translation was made in Bible study. But here's something that was very powerful, written by Karl Marx. Here's what Karl Marx said in a speech in 1844. Many of you heard me say that. Karl Marx wrote this speech in 1844. He calls religion, I quote, he called it the sin of the oppressed creature, the falling of a heartless world, the soul of a senseless condition, and that religion is an opium of the people, unquote. That was Karl Marx. He wrote that. Some other writings by Paul Tillich, he's a philosopher. David Dovoce wrote some things as well as it relates to understanding the Word of God from a prophetic standpoint. Well, I would say prophetic point standpoint, but from those scholars who wrote these letters, Karl Marx, David Dovoce, Robert Luther, and some of these writings that deal with what we call the mysterious, or deal with the understanding of outside. Because when you deal with mysterious, it's a Greek word, it means outside the mythological ability. It's something that God has to overshadow you with. In other words, to understand the mysterious of God, you have to have an attitude that contradicts the attitude of cognitive. So when you talk about the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, you're really talking about translation of a writer. Someone who wrote and took holiness or Old Testament, where you were holy, and then interconnected with Jesus, who is now on the scene, forfeit or revealing holiness. So what you have, woman of God, is you have holiness under the Old Testament, means you have to be a perfect priest who were able to go into the presence of God once a year. And I think that, isn't that right, Evangelist Hoops, because she's kind of in that area, that based upon the Leviticus priest, you were only a selected people who were trained by the priesthood to go into the Holy of Holy, or to be trained based upon knowing how to get into God's presence and having a life set apart for God for simply that assignment and duty. And even to carry the Ark of the Covenant, to be able to do the communion, to understand the feast of the year. There were certain who had to do that, and these were the only people who were allowed to do that and to be able to go and present themselves in the qualitative ways of biblical life and to learn the life of a priest. So they learned the garments, they learned what to wear, they know how to address coming into the presence of God. And even in from the historicity of biblical understanding, these priests were, when before they went into the Holy of Holies, they kept these priests up for 48 hours, 3 and 4 or 5 days, so that they wouldn't even go to sleep and have dreams in the realm of the spirit of negative things. So they kept them up so that when they went into the Holy of Holies, into the entrance of the Holy of Holies with God, they would be able to take the sins of the people into the presence of God without having anything that was of sin in their life and in their mind, in their thought. So they would go into the presence. And if they came, if they were not able to come out, they had chain on their feet to pull them out. Yeshua HaMashiach, which is Arabic, and it was changed to Jesus, Yeshua, Latin, which we got people arguing about that. Why y'all call him Yeshua HaMashiach? His name is Jesus. It's only in Jesus' name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Then you had the argument between that. How you cast out a demon in Jesus' name. You can't cast them out in Yeshua HaMashiach. Well, here's how you cast a demon out. Resist them. If you don't even call his name, resist them. I told the people, I went into a conference. I had to be there with a lot of preachers, and everybody was explaining. I said, let me just tell you something. I'm authentic. I said, I have a lot of struggle. I said, if I don't want the devil in, what I do? I ain't got to call his name by myself, and I ain't got to speak in tongues. I better resist him. So inside of you, you better have the power to resist him. And that's the holiness of God that must be the spirit of God dwelling in you. Now, if we take it to Catholicism and those who did not want to take on the spiritual analogy of it because they didn't understand the spirit world based upon, if you read the word of God from Saul, when Saul kicked out the mediums out of the city, Paul kicked out the mediums, the soothsayers out of the city, because when you use the word spirit, they were using the word spirit from those who were dealing with astral projection, the witch of Endor. They were studying the spirit world, so he kicked them out. And so you have many people who what they did is instead of going into the spirit realm, they added the word ghost to it because they didn't really understand the spirit of dwelling of God, because it was only them that had went into the presence. Am I teaching to somebody today? So the only way to get into the presence of God is you had to have that ghost that they didn't know about the spirit realm, or when they did, they said you have to have a certain innate ability to go in. So the translation of Holy Spirit became Holy Ghost. But if you look up the original meaning of ghost, I was trying to explain that to somebody, and then someone wanted to change the whole world of what I said. I didn't say anything about doing away with the Holy Ghost or holiness. I was explaining to people who are constantly trying to judge everybody based upon what they know, and they don't even know the history of how Holy Ghost got changed in the scripture when it was really the Holy Spirit or holiness. And so, and bringing the people to really understand, I'm trying to get believers to go back to study the word of God, because there is a generation of men and women of God who are confused with the colonial mindset of what we call religion and church and Pentecostalism and movement of Azusa Street and movement of this revival and that revival, and no one revived only in that time period. The Spirit of God does not change. He uses people to make the changes. And what you have is people are making changes, calling it a revelation, and they don't understand the spirit world. When you understand the spirit world, you understand relationship with who you are in God. Enemy is an enemy to eternity. In us is eternity. Everybody open their eyes and go look in the sky and calling down God. Oh, the God up there. That was astrology. That was the astrologers who didn't understand that. That was the Chaldeans. Study the Chaldeans. Study the magician and the wizards and all of these people, how they took the spirit realm. And even when you deal with ancestors, when you deal with the ancestry line, ancestors, if you even go over to Hebrew chapter 12, when he talked about the great cloud of witnesses, those were ancestors. Those are great cloud of witnesses. And so when you hear people talk about, well, and the ancestors did, oh, that's witchcraft spirit. See, what we're doing is we're judging and utilizing terminology to fit your culture, your background, your people, or what you've been taught to be able to understand the spirit world. The spirit world is a powerful entity in the presence of God. And people really don't understand the spirit world because they're connected to the world flesh too much. If you tap into the spirit world, and this will scare people, you can tap into the spirit world and you can never die. You can transcend. You can translate. You can move in realms. You can go in places you wouldn't even imagine in the spirit world. And you have to understand the spirit of God as it relates to meditation, as it relates to transcending, as it relates to transcending you to tap into God. God is far greater than the homework of a church every day and a Tuesday and a Wednesday. Those are religious practices and things. There are places that God wants to take us into that are far greater than your imagination and your creativity and the wisdom. That's why the Jesuit order and the Catholic Church did what they did as it relates to coronavirus, given this virus that went into the gene of the substratum of the neural, the neurological part of the brain, actually the pineal gland of the synergy of God himself, what we call, some people say the third eye, you call it 27,000 eyes if you want to. That's the very state of God, tapping into him when you study it from a scientific standpoint or a psychological standpoint and go through. So let me drive you here. The Holy Spirit is just holiness of God under the Old Testament, whereas you did not have access to go in. But because of the Messiah, not the Mason or Masonic, the Messiah came to do what? He came to be an atom. An atom is actually, when you study the brain, the atom is an organ in the highest level of the gene in you, which gives you Genesis, the gene inside you. Inside Genesis is the gene. That's the genius in you, the genuine in you, the greatness in you, the power in you. And from that state of being, we get the ability to understand the book of Genesis and how it established the evening and the morning was the first day and the evening and the morning was the second day. And when God brings us into the revelation, he gives us the revelation of how each day was connected to the gene of creativity in you. Paul breaks it down in the revelation by saying, your 24 hours is 1,000 years to God. Revelation just said a day. But when you transcend your thoughts, you're able to move into the Ancient of Days. You can go into the historical mind of God, far greater than your imagination. You can, what did they say? You can sit in heavenly places. That means you can tap into the presence of God and be in a place in God that's in the heavenly, while your body is right here. The song says, your body's here with me, but your mind is on the other side of town. That's true. Your body can be right here, but your mind can be on the other side of town. Now, if a man can sing the song and say that, and then we can do it in transition, why can't our body be with here and our mind can be in eternity with God? Or our mind can be in a different place, or we can flow in those spiritual dimensions? Because we're taught to be part of organization instead of understanding organism in us, alive, the power and the presence of God indwelling in us. So the Holy Spirit is just a spirit world, where in the spirit world is the presence of God and the presence of the devil in the spirit world. So in the spirit world, you meet many spirits in that world. Those are called Nephilim. The Greek word means fallen. You meet many demonic forces in the spirit world. If your life is not connected to holiness, because in the spirit world are places where you can go. It's free will. Your will can take you to places. In the spirit world, that there's many things that are in that world that are available for those whose mind is connected to the thought of God. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil to give you an expected end. Then when you go unto me, you could pray with all of your heart, and I will be found of you. Notice he said, I'll go back to you. In you is in him. And when we've been trained to understand, when we've been trained to become puppets and puppetry and part of jugglers, we'll never begin to house the presence of God, because we don't have to be in a church building to house its presence. We just have to be part of the kingdom that holds all faith. It's in us. Jesus just brought, or Yeshua HaMashiach, or the Most High, gave us the power to house his presence. That's why he talked about having the temple of God and flowing in the temple of the presence of God, so that we can carry his temple in us. That means to be able to transcend. Transcend means to rise above, exceed, or transmit, or the limits of thought, to surpass human cognitive ability, move beyond the ordinary common experience of human knowledge. Where the human mind and ability is, God's divine, supernatural, infinite power begins. You're tapping in to a place in God that when you open your mouth, the mysteries take away misery. The mysteries change the trajectory. The mystery reveal eternity. The mystery change the lives. The mystery reveals everything. Everybody wants their shadow to heal, but when they see their shadow, they start running because they get scared. It's too dark. You have to be able to understand the mysterious of God. And people can't tap into the mysterious of God. When you study Roman church, or you study the history of the goddesses, whether it's Zeus, whether it's Isis, in the name of all of these goddesses, or the sun goddess, in the name of them, these people understood these deities. So when they tap into the spirit world, there are many deities that are there in the spirit world. And so we tap into these deities, and we pick a deity out there because it looks, sounds like God. And if we don't tap in and stay in the presence, we'll miss Elohim, and we'll pick up what's in the element of what is given to us. And then we'll pull it out. It'll seem like God, it'll act like God, it'll persuade God, but at the end, it will lead you away from God. And that's a whole other level of dealing with the conscious state and the unconscious state, and the conscious man and the unconscious man, of understanding the Word of God and the history of his creativity. Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, when he talks about in the body, out of a body experience, and moving in paradise and having all this great power, revelation, the thorn in the flesh. So when you talk about the Holy Spirit over the Holy Ghost, you have two words here that says the same thing, and it's a combination of word systems. Now, if I decide to go into study of etymology, I would say it's the study of the origin of words and the way which their meaning have changed throughout history. This is etymology. And the origin of a word and the historical development of its meaning. Where did the Holy Ghost come in at? Where does this mean? So if you go to Google or Wikipedia, it will give you the event, maybe the time, of where Ghost came in, Holy Ghost came in. before Casper the Friendly Ghost came on the scene and all the other ghosts came. It was the spirit. And so from that place, so people can understand how the Bible changes the translation, so people can understand Holy Spirit, they change it to Holy Ghost. And so then if you took holiness and studied it, you'll know both of them remain the same. But if you check spirit, then you'll take you to understanding different spirits. If you put Holy Ghost to it, you'll understand the dark side of the word ghost and where it came from and the meaning. So now you have an argument between Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost. So if you try to explain to people, when you say, okay, study Holy Ghost and then study Holy Spirit, then you have somebody like, oh, see, I told you the devil was in it. They people use all of the religious terminology and change it. But can we all just live holy? You know? Can we all seek the Spirit of God? Can we all maintain the relationship with the Lord so that we all could be of one accord? Now, if you understand I believe it's more the, I think it's called, yeah, the Hebrew word, the etymology of the modern Hebrew word of etymology. Almost all the Hebrew words are put upon root letters called shorah, which means root, and are formed in small manipulation can be created many different but one related meaning. All of them have a little different, but they all have related meaning. That's etymology. And to really understand it, you have to understand, where did the word come into existence? Because the mind of the people are so, they so fixated on, I'm going to try to stay in the time here. They're so fixated on understanding, fixated on emotionalism instead of studying. Study means research. They never really come into the knowledge and understanding of where words come from, is mean, or even to study what's been taught to them or what's been told to them. And they just go along with what they've been taught or what's been told to them. So they don't really have a clear understanding of Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. But I'll end on this. If you choose to use Holy Ghost, that does not change holiness. If you choose to use Holy Spirit, that will not change holiness. Because if you are a man or woman that's set apart for God, he can use you as a vessel for him. You can be used by God. It's only word usage and word changes or translation. That's the simple way of putting it. I just did a little teaching and sharing, but that's the simple way of putting it, woman of God. It is. And so the people can understand who God is and who he is to us from one person doing it in the Old Testament going in to you being able to enter in yourself because of the spirit that's on your life. I hope they'll be able to help you out a little bit.
Amen. Thank you, Prophet. Thank you.
Let me just leave it there. Amen. Okay. All right, Administrator Brian. I thought I'd be done a long time ago. But no, I'm just going to kick. But bless the Lord for you, woman of God. Anyone else?
God bless you, sir.
God bless you.
I'm at work, so I won't be maybe but 60 seconds or so. But, you know, there's a scripture that says that God winks at our ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
And Yahushua, Jesus, you know, Jesus, that root word comes from Jesus or Zeus, but yet God still performs his power and his word when we call that name. When Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he also said, "Wait until you are empowered by the Comforter." That's singular. Now we can call the Holy Ghost the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, or in the Hebrew, the Ruach HaKodesh, but it's still a singular. It's Him. It's the portion of God that He sheds upon us that covers us and indwells within us. You know, I mean, you could think about all the different things that we say that could be offensive to God. When we say Lord, Lord actually means Baal. So when we say I praise the Lord, in context, you're actually saying I'm honoring Baal. But God understands that in our ignorance, we're actually referring to Him. It's our heart and our mindset. We're referring to the Creator, not to the fallen deity or the lesser deity, Baal. So again, go back to the foundation, John 14:16, where He says, "I'm going to send you a Comforter," singular.
Yeah.
Now you can call Him Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Helper, Friend. You can call Him, so long as you don't disrespect Him. You can call Him many different things, but He is one. Just like Yahushua said that I am in the Father, and it talks about how you will see that I am in the Father in that day. And just like I'm in the Father, you will also be in Me, one. So,
absolutely.
You know, sometimes it's eloquence and dynamics in teaching and hearing and receiving and understanding, but sometimes we miss just the simplicity of what did Christ say?
Yeah.
He said, wait until you are empowered by the Comforter, Him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
The entrance of thy word gives life and understanding
life,
to the simple. Understanding to the simple. See? So that's all. That's all. I thank you for giving me an opportunity to expound. And like I said, I'm at work, and I'm going to have to get back to my duties. But appreciate this opportunity and all the dialogue that the saints of God continue to have. It's edifying. It builds up. You know, the scripture says iron sharpened iron. And it takes – see, what people fail to realize is that iron hits iron, and both blades are getting sharp. The saints are so intimidated by conflict sometimes, and you need to realize that sparks sometimes fly when there's iron hitting iron, but it's not for the purpose of destroying one another, but for the purpose of correction and building up. So
don't
be afraid, saints of God, to be you.
There you go.
That's all. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
Love you, man of God. Appreciate you, too. Thank you so much for sharing that with myself and all of us on here, because it's imperative to really understand what God is saying to us from origin, from the root of things, so we can understand. And especially when you were talking about Lord, I mean, you know, you got to understand those Glodian systems and how everything, these bigger lords. Yeah. It's a lot of prophetess of the Lord, woman of God, that we are coming to the originality of. That's why thank you, man of God. We really appreciate that information, which you reveal to the people, then share with them, that's helping them. It's always good to have somebody that can step in and say, this is it. This is where we are. This is what we're doing. And this is the word of God from history, understanding where we are as believers. Instead of just saying we're Christian, which is pagan, and not really understanding the Constantine religion or Christianity, to bring the people to really understanding what God is saying to us and what He's saying through us and in us, His original plan for our life. And what is He saying to us? as believers. So that's so important, and it's blessing me to see that we have believers who understand, there it is, all on the same page. We're in the same vein. We're speaking the same language, and we have the Lord who should be the same, but because of, like you said, intimidation, and people that are intimidated by, he's moving in this realm. He think they know better. No one's thinking they know better. We want the truth to be revealed from the Word of God. And we want everybody to understand what truth is all about. Amen. Even if you go to college and university and receive doctorates and PhDs and all that stuff, at the end of the day, you know, all of this, we're going to become like vapor, sharing the Word of God, and everybody having appointed time to do what needs to be done. We all going to be replaced. So we want to make our mark on the earth that can never be erased when it comes to the Word of God and for the lives of God's people. And I just thank God for men and women of God that see God for who he is. That's why we have these open forums like we do. So it will be able to challenge myself, challenge all of us, because we don't get a chance to sit and write up a script so we can know what we need to say, like everybody do on TV shows and television shows. It has to be done from a raw, authentic place. And that becomes very painful for me and the women of God who study all night, all week, day long, and still miss the revelation on a Sunday morning because they haven't really sought the face of God. They just got a scripture that they learned to entertain the people. And right now, when we are in the world, there are men and women of God who are coming to the revelation of this word, and it will be contradictory of what we've taught, what we've learned, what we've been taught, what we've seen, and what we've experienced, because the Word of God is coming alive even greater to many of the men and women of God in this generation and even the generation of people. So I thank God for that, and I thank God for everybody who had questions and comments and statements today to share with us. Thank you all so much. All right, anyone else? All right, Administrator Bright, anything else out there today?
Nothing online to clear.
All right. Thank you, Administrator Bryan, and thank you, thanks to God for what you shared tonight. Any of our people on the panel, anything you from the panel that anybody want to say? All right. Thank you, panel. Thank you all. Because bless you too. I think about when we first started open forum many number of years ago when we first started doing it, even before I started growing a little bit in the word, some of the questions that were asked to me. You remember Administrator Bryan been with us for the 12 years, and we used to have the open forum. And it was through God's word that he had to really give me understanding some of the things that I shared today, Pastor Simmons and Prophetess Rice and Dr. Wilkes. And one of the things about we all learning each other, we've learned to agree to disagree, and we learn to understand if we don't have an answer, we'll go back to it. I used to debate and still go back again. Some things I found out I was wrong, I would tell the minister to Brian. It's kind of funny. I was like, man, you know, Can I just be authentic with some of the people we say? This is some of the things that are funny. This is me and Administrator Bryan. I said, you know what? I told Administrator Bryan one day, I said, you know what? I missed it. I should tell the people. Oh, you don't want to tell the people that? He said, you're losing. I said, but I feel so bad. He said, Prophet? I'm telling you. I said, well, I got to tell the people. She said, now, you tell the people I'm leaving because I don't want the people to be looking at me. And we had these kind of conversations. And then I learned in the Word of God, the Lord would say, he would say, some things are better left alone until the right timing to share with the people. Because I used to be one of them. Let me just come right back. Well, some things, if you don't learn, it just be better to leave it alone so that when you come back, you'll have the total understanding. Because I'm one who would just go back. I'd sit up all night. Some of you, I might sit up all night. I'd be up all night pondering the word. And what is this? You know, give me this. Lord, show me this. And I'd be, and I go, and many of you probably don't know. I'm an OCD specialist. I deal with, that's what the new DSM-4 call it. So I'll get up. I'll be up all night, Apostle Simmons. I'll be in the Word. I'll be trying to understand the meaning of it. Evangelist, I'll be breaking stuff down. I'll be scratching my head. I wake up in the morning with my Bible sitting on my chest, the dictionaries and that, and on the note. I was so mad one day. I woke up one day. I squeaked up all of my papers, and I'm binding the devil. And Lord said, "Why are you binding the devil? You by what bind yourself up? Because I didn't tell you to sit there and tear up all the papers and wrinkle up all your papers." So when you get into the Word, you want people to really understand the Word. And even if they don't get it then, when you deal with apologetic, which means defending the text, people intellect and dialect may be different from yours. So they may not understand it from that point of view. But if you take time to give it to them, then they can study it themselves, or they're able to relate to it so that they'll be able to have it. So I thank God for, I'm really godly, excited and proud of the panel tonight, and I thank God for our other brother that jumps in and come in and share. I really appreciate you, man. I love you, my brother. Thank you so much for what you share as well, the knowledge, the wealth of knowledge that you have as well as you've given us and sharing with us that helps the people of God as well. I appreciate that from the men and the women of God and the vessels of God, because we all started with sharing from the standpoint of women in ministry and the platforms in that place. But I really thank God for all of those who are here and who are following us, who are receiving it and who are listening and are coming into the knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. So this has been a great day for all of us to be able to receive and learn and share from this platform to break the religious thought mindset and the institutionalism of being a brainwash instead of bloodwash. So we can tap into the things of the kingdom of God, grow, learn, and develop on today. All right? Now, do anybody have a comment before we go? Anybody have a comment today? I think for some of us, we need to get this recording. This is a great recording for some of us. This is a great recording. You need to get this recording. All right. Now, don't be afraid to make a comment, especially if you're a student. Don't be afraid. Thank you, Prophetess. From California. Thank you, Prophetess Toya from California, for asking that question. Thank you so much. Anybody else before we end? All right. Thank you, Kingdom leaders that came in and shared tonight as well. We appreciate you as well. We passed the time that we had. Appreciate you all as well. Thank you so much for what you were able to share and release on today. Bless you all as well. All right, Administrator Brown, any final words over there with the breath?
No, sir, all lines are clear on the thing, sir.
Thank you so much. Okay, people of God, bless you all on today. Thank you, Apostle of the Lord. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Dr. Wilkes. Thank you so much. Thank you, Prophetess of the Lord. Thank you so much for everybody sharing and releasing and those comments that came in. We had some more questions, but we're going to govern ourselves accordingly because of the hour that's at hand. We appreciate everybody, excuse me, for everybody that shared. I was able to make it through this. Look here, Cole. Amen. Thank God for it. All right. Bless the people of God. Those of you who have been listening in tonight, if you want a copy of today's teaching in its entirety,
You can go over to blogtalkradio.com, that's blogtalkradio.com, and go into the archive and look up today's teaching. It is available to you in its entirety today, the 17th, and listen to it and be blessed. You're also going to be blessed by some of the other teachings that we have. Thank you all so much. Now, if you want to be a blessing to this ministry and sow a seed, you can do that as well by going to Cash App money sign RFPIM. That's Cash App money sign RFPIM, and sow a seed into the ministry. We thank you for your seed in advance. Those who are blessing, thank you for your seed. You can do it via go to it via Zelle at We Restore You. That's the letter U in the alphabet at yahoo.com. That's Restore You at yahoo.com, and be a blessing as well. If you want to do it via our website, go to our website at We Restore You, the letter U.org. That's We Restore You.org. And go into our website and be a blessing as well. We thank you all for your seed. You got to mail it to us. Mail it to us at 231 East 146th Street in the city of Harvey, Illinois. That's 231 East 146th Street in Harvey, Illinois, 60426. All right, thanks to God. Bless you on tonight. Thank you. Have a phenomenal night in the Lord. We'll talk to you soon. And shalom in your court is my prayer for you on today. God bless everybody.
Second Peter 1 and 3 tells us that God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. I have everything.
My weakness.